Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Jeez. Lord have mercy.
This is KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. We'll get to question mark presented by Brakes Plus here in just a second. As we reset what's happening the morning after, holy smokes. As you're watching that last night, you're like the Blues score the first goal. Okay. 3-1. Hey. They got some pride.
Right.
They're not going away. They'll give it. It's not going to be 1-2-3 Cancun with these guys, right?
Yeah.
That gets me 3-2. You're like, okay, I don't like the way this is going right
well,
now.
Well, since it went 3-1, then you're starting to think what you hear on every hockey broadcast. 2-goal lead, worst lead in goal in hockey, right?
Yeah, but see, when it was 3-1, I didn't have any issues. No issues. I just thought, okay, whatever. 1 goal.
I had issues.
And I thought it'd be the wake-up call. I thought that'd be the wake-up call. I thought that'd be the,
okay,
all right, hey, you know, we've been kind of coasting. We're up 3-0. We just had a power play. Could have made it 4-0. Let that opportunity slip away. Okay, 3-1. All right, here we go, boys. Let's get refocused, right? Then it's 3-2.
Mm.
And
now you're puckering.
And it's still midway through the third period. And it's like, man, there's still a lot of time left.
Yeah.
And then they score 5 minutes later to tie it. Now I'm starting to grip.
Right.
But then MacKinnon scores. And he scores with 2 minutes and 46 seconds left. And it wasn't just the time left. It was the transcendent nature of that goal. Like, you want to talk about a statement? You want to talk about taking whatever momentum St. Louis had and slamming it, stop right there? You saw it. The building went nuts. The Avalanche bench went nuts. Blues players were hanging their head. And at that moment, I'm like, that's the backbreaker right there. You put in so much work, so much effort to climb back from 3 goals down. That's just a sign that you're not meant to win this game. I thought it was over.
I did too. By the way, them giving up that last goal with 56 seconds left to tie it and going into overtime, Mike, that is giving that up ruined a playoff performance that we'd be talking about for decades.
That goal.
Well, that goal, the hat trick, but that goal.
That goal to respond
to a 3-3 tie when you had a 3-0 lead and then to come back right after that goal, you know, minutes later and making like a 200-foot play. That's a 200-foot hockey play. And the finish on that play was somebody draped on you going backhand, forehand to backhand to forehand with zero space and then being able to flip it over the goalie's shoulder from that tight of quarters.
Well,
you took an opportunity to take a playoff victory where you hoisted a team on your back, and that'd be like the drive. And then all of a sudden, after the drive, they score. There's 2 seconds left or a second left. You kick off, and they return it for a touchdown, and you lose. Right? It would have ruined. The drive wouldn't be the drive if that had an opportunity to be one of the greatest, just one of the greatest performances in playoff history. And because you don't win, it's not going to be remembered that way.
Look, no one is to blame for what I'm about to say, but I want to ask this question. Again, you know me, I love getting the psychology of the athlete. I thought it was over when MacKinnon scored.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Avalanche thought it was over. I think the Blues at that moment, you got, like I said, you got players hanging their head.
Right.
There's only 2:46 left. Thanks to our listeners in Morrison for making 104.3 the Fan part of your day. But with all the hats raining down on the ice, it took a while to clean it up. Did it give the Blues a chance to
regroup?
Right.
And strategize.
And that if you didn't, if that goal, as magnificent as it was, wasn't the culmination of a hat trick, and you go right back 30, 40 seconds left and drop the puck, how much would it have been different?
That's a great question. What I'm hearing from you right now is Mike Evans.
Oh boy.
Mark this down.
Here we go.
Blames the fans for the loss.
No.
It's your fault, Avalanche fan. Yes.
No.
Man, why do you hate Avalanche fans?
Jeez. You hot snot.
Why do you hate Avalanche fans?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. I'm just asking, because it took a good.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about probably it was a good 4 minutes?
There were a lot of hats, Mike.
Right? So let's just say 4 to 5 minutes to get that all cleaned up and resume action. How much did that help the Blues?
I do think.
I'm not saying it really hurt the Avs that much.
No.
You're right, just incredible. But how much did it help the Blues regroup at a moment where they thought all that work is for naught?
Right. I think you're right, man. I think it not only gives you a chance to, like, you know, you process for a minute, and then you strategize for a minute, and then you set your jaw for a minute, and then you start playing hockey again. And by the way, after something that's that emotional and such a huge play and just absolutely one of the most athletic hockey plays, one of the most athletic things you'll ever see on ice, Mike, you lose a little bit of momentum. We should outlaw the hat.
There's nothing about it that you would do differently.
Outlawed.
It was not. Nobody at that moment should take their hat off and then stop collectively.
No, they should.
And
they
say, should. Well, wait a minute. If we throw the hat on the ice, everyone's going to throw the hat on the ice, and it's going to take some time to clear it up, and that could give the Blues time. No, the reaction. I mean, that goal was so. Oh my God! Did you just see that? And the culmination of a hat trick. You just had to let out that emotion.
I disagree.
Hey, Fever, can we get this on tape?
Yeah.
Mark Schlereth is blaming Avalanche fans not only for the loss, but for not being able to think clearly and not throw the hats in the first place.
Well, it was like, no. No.
Wow.
You're the one that poked the bear. I'm just saying that now, pregame, Alan Roach should come on and say,
ladies and gentlemen, if any Avalanche player happens to get a hat trick, throwing your hat on the ice will automatically lead to elimination, and you will be escorted out of the game.
Seriously, that dude.
I'm Alan Roach.
He's so awesome. So, yeah. I just thanked our listeners in Morrison. So, great restaurant. Let me just give a quick plug. Cafe Prague is in Morrison, right? So.
Really?
It's a really nice restaurant. It's really
Cafe
nice.
Cafe Pro.
And this is like a couple months ago. My wife and I are down there, close to where we live, having dinner. And I happen to hear this voice at the bar. And I'm like, I'm like, is that Alan Roach? Even just chopping it up with the bartender.
Good one.
Roach's voice is awesome.
You'd think that most people, like, they have to go to that voice.
Yeah.
Right?
No. He doesn't. That's not a go-to voice.
When he's sleeping, talking in his sleep,
right.
He sounds like that.
Yes. I mean, that's just,
I've got to empty the refrigerator, and you know,
he's just like,
I'm gonna get my car serviced at Johnson.
Oh my goodness!
Roach is awesome.
We have to laugh after
he's
last
awesome.
Night, or we cry. So, Avs Blues Game 6 coming up tomorrow night. D-Mac, by the way, is I think he's traveling out right
now. I saw him tweet out.
Is he at the airport already?
Yeah, the little St. Louis. They have the little placard that shows you where your flight's going.
So he's already at the airport.
Yeah, that was an hour. That was an hour ago.
Okay. He'll be on the scene in St. Louis. So speaking of St. Louis, the Blues, Craig Berube caught a lot of flack, justifiably so, for his terse no comment when asked about the death threats and racial insults hurled at Nazem Kadri when the series was in St. Louis, and he was asked to talk about it, and he said no comment. Understandably, caught a lot of grief for it. Before the game yesterday, before he even took questions, he had this to say.
Just before any questions, I just want to comment on my no comment the other day. I'm not on social media. I was aware of a threat made to Nazem, not the racist stuff. And in no way is it acceptable by the St. Louis Blues or anybody else for him to have to go through that. Being a Native American myself, I've heard it all. I've been around it. It's not a good thing. And so I just wanted to get that out there that, you know, there's no room for it anywhere.
Okay. You cool with that? Or was this a case of somebody in the Blues organization got in his ear forcefully and said, dude, it's a bad look for you. It's a bad look for us.
Yeah.
Oh. Get out there.
You need to get out there in front. And it's... You know what's a shame is they didn't do it earlier. Should have been done earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been done right off the bat. But, yeah, I do believe this about coaches and about players, a lot of players, but coaches in particular. They basically lock themselves out of the world. They're so myopic in their focus in the direction they're going in that – you know, they're studying what they're studying, and they're not paying attention to anything else. And so I do believe, you know, not being on social media and not really paying attention to much, I do believe that there was a level of ignorance based upon what you do for a living. And most coaches are just that way, Mike. They don't have time to do everything else, or they don't have the inclination to do it. They found their passion, what they love to do, and they're 100% poured into that. And so all the outside distractions, they have this unique ability to just tune everything else out. And so I do believe that there was, first, he was told by the organization, you got to get out in front of this. We are taken, like, it's bad for our city. It is bad for us as an organization. It is, like, it's taken its toll on us. You have to get out in front of it. So there was a demand from the organization to do that. But I do believe his sincerity, and I do believe that there was a part of him that was just blissfully unaware.
Okay, I don't buy that. See, that part I don't buy. I'll buy some of the sincerity of what I heard just now.
Right.
But that question was asked, and it was an immediate, almost abrupt no comment. Not like if it had been like a no comment, like, I haven't really been up to date on it, but it was more of a, this question's coming and I don't want to deal with it. No comment. Well,
right. I think it came from a place of he was still legitimately pissed that his goaltender was injured and out for the series. So there was a level of anger and a level, but I do believe not being on social media and not having full understanding of all the, like, you hear racist tweets. You hear that there are those racist tweets out there. You hear that there are threats. Then you go back and some, I don't know who was on Twitter that posted them.
His wife. Kadri's wife.
Right. But Kadri's wife from somebody else who had posted them from St. Louis, right? She reposted or whatever it was. But when you go back and read them, Mike, it is disheartening. It's upsetting, it's disgusting, and it's just sad.
Yeah, it really is. It's just, I read some of those, I'm like, wow, this is the world we live in?
Right.
This is the commentary on what we have people out there that are thinking, walking around every day, thinking, and then taking the time to send out a tweet?
And not only that, but, you know... Herm Edwards used to say it all the time back when he was coaching, don't push send.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Before you send something like that, you ought to really evaluate kind of what you're saying and what you're doing.
Yeah, you look at your phone at that tweet that you're ready to send out.
If you even have a moment of trepidation, it's best to either erase it or let it sit for an hour and go back and read it
later.
Instead,
you look at it and go, "Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
let's send that. Boom.
Yeah."
The Broncos have another name in their ownership derby. This one's interesting. Well, they're all interesting. Anybody who's going to be ponying up $5 billion to buy the Broncos, there's a certain interest there. So Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, reporting that Matt and Justin Ishbia are among bidders to buy the Broncos. Matt Ishbia has already made his mark on Denver sports.
Really?
I've piqued your curiosity?
You have piqued my curiosity.
Let's see if I can leave enough breadcrumbs here for you to follow.
Okay.
He went to Michigan State, was a basketball player on Tom Izzo's 1999-2000 winning national championship team.
Okay.
No connections yet?
They knock out the CU Buffs and Chauncey Billups or something like that?
Ooh, you warmer. Warmer, Michigan State, CU. What's happened recently with Michigan State and CU?
Mel Tucker.
This guy, Matt Ishbia, was among the big Michigan State supporters who came out and facilitated Midnight Mel's midnight run from Boulder to, East Lansing?
East Lansing.
And helped fund this new contract, 10 years, $95 million. So he's already had an impact.
I always loved it. Is it East Lansing or is it just Lansing, Michigan? Or where is
East Lansing, where Magic Johnson went. Lansing, Michigan or East? I always thought Michigan State was East Lansing.
I always liked Keith a sophomore from... Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is East Lansing. Which leads me to ask the question.
You know, the arrogance, right? I bring up, where is Michigan State located? What popped up? Michigan. No, it's East Lansing.
East Lansing. Which leads you to believe there's a West Lansing?
Probably.
North Lansing?
Probably.
A South Lansing? Well, we've never heard of any of those places.
Please, don't give Michigan fan more... then they need to take shots at Michigan State by saying, oh, Michigan State, directional school.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. He's not a Michigan man.
So anyway, Matt Ishbia.
Ishbia.
Matt Ishbia and his brother, part of a group. I go back to the words of Mike Kliss, and they resonate with me today, that if Rob Walton really wants it, there's nobody who can touch his bid.
He's worth $70 billion.
Yeah, so that if he really wants the Broncos, game over, man. And all these other groups, the Josh Harris group,
mm-hmm.
the Byron Allen group, the Todd Bowley group,
mm-hmm.
the Matt Ishbia group, no chance.
Bully.
If Walton really wants it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yes, East Lansing, says one texter, not South Detroit. I'm just waiting for Michigan fan to come out here. Let's see. Let's get to some more reaction to what happened last night. Why is Berube upset about his goaltender being hurt? The Blues still have Kemper helping them out.
Oh. Wow.
Oh.
He certainly wasn't good last night. That was
not a point.
He was not good. And that overtime goal was.
I thought King Henrik Lundqvist, looking resplendent in a cream-colored suit.
He's got, his beard is perfect. I just wondered, all I could think about the whole time in the opening pregame with Lundqvist sitting up on that stage is, was he manscaped by our man Nick?
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
Because that beard was on point.
It was perfect.
Anyway, Lundqvist, mm-hmm. great goalie.
Yeah.
Future Hall of Fame goalie. And so when he's giving commentary on a goalie, another goalie, you listen, right?
Right.
You listen. And I thought it was interesting that after the game was over, Lundqvist, talking about Kemper, you know he doesn't want to completely bury the guy. They're peers, right?
Sure.
But when he says, that's when you got to make the stop, that's like a five-alarm fire bell going off. When a goaltender in that situation says about another goaltender, that's a save you got to make, that means it was soft.
Yeah.
It was soft. That's a bad goal.
You know, it goes back to, for me, it kind of goes back to this conversation I had when ESPN had hired Nomar Garciaparra.
Nomar!
After he had retired. And one of the producers was like, hey, like he's like, Nomar has a really tough time being critical of other players. And can you help him with what the key to that is? And there was some guy that just botched a pretty easy ground ball, right? And so my advice to Nomar was, hey, dude, like, put yourself in that position. If you botch that ball, how pissed would you be at you? Right? It's not about being critical or personal or anything. That's a play that 100% of the time you have to make, and that is just a horrible error by, you know, fill in the blank player. I go, because you'd be more critical of you than anybody could ever be. Like, those are the things that you have to understand when you get into this business. And for Lundqvist to sit there and go, that's a goal you have to stop. Like, that's a play you got. Dude, you got to stop that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to. And that's for him, you know, to say that. And he's really, I don't think he's a full-time guy. He's just kind of a guest on the mm-hmm. set, right? For him to come out and say that, that's scorched earth. You might as well just go, dude, that is soft as microwave butter.
Yep.
That's as soft can be. That was a bad goal.
I get that people are disappointed, but I wonder if we're getting a little bit out of control here when I get a text like this. Darcy Kemper straight up Raheem Moore'd that game away last night.
Mm. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
Wow. Whoa. Wow. 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 Wow.
Whoa now. Easy. Easy. Let's not go there. Okay? That's...
Relax.
That's he who shall not be named territory, okay? Let's not go there. Last year when I was in the Ravens facility, I sent you that picture.
Yes!
They've got it. I mean, you know how the facilities, they always hang up pictures of, like, great moments. And, like, we have pictures of great moments in Bronco history and... There's probably over at the Broncos facility in Dove Valley, there's the John Elway helicopter play, and there's Peyton Manning throwing for 55 touchdowns, you know, everybody's celebrating, and there's all kinds of pictures. In Baltimore's facility, they have Raheem Moore going, with, what's the guy, Jacoby, was it Jacoby Jones?
Jones, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
They have that picture.
They have that picture?
Oh, I walked down the hallway, and I was like, oh, gosh, there's a gut punch.
Ooh, let me take a picture and send it to Mike.
So I took a picture of it and sent it directly to you.
Okay. It's 8:25. It's 8:25, and just
I wonder how many facilities I'm hanging up in. Like,
oh, watch out!
Help! I'm in facilities, and I'm in probably every facility in America.
8:25, and this breaking news: Chris Bryant still on the injured list.
Oh.
Again.
Oh, Tony Stark.
We laugh,
Because otherwise you'd cry.
Yeah.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, goodness.
Coming
gracious.
Up, let's try to wash last night away, reset. Where's our level of confidence for the Avs to rebound in Game 6? That's next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Again, I get it. The pain of last night, the shock of last night is going to last for a while. Let's try to put it aside. Let's try to put the finger pointing, Darcy Kuemper, aside.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at when it comes to them rebounding tomorrow night?
Oh, I feel great about them rebounding tomorrow night because I think you hope that you learn, and this is the beauty of hockey and why football in the playoffs is so much tougher. Because if you learn that valuable lesson in football, you know what you have to do? Wait till next year to rectify it. You can rectify it, what, tomorrow night? If you're the Avalanche, you put an onslaught. I mean, what you did was, that was straight up buzzsaw material. That was feeding frenzy. That was chum in the water. And the Avalanche were sharks. They just went after. That first period was as dominant a period as I've ever watched in hockey. And you're up 2-0. And then, 4 minutes into the second period, you're up 3-0. And you know what you did? You're driving down I-80, heading to Chicago, and you put it on cruise control. And the speed limit's 75, and you set it for, 79.4. And you're just cruising.
Point of order. I made that drive last summer.
Yeah?
When I drove my daughter's stuff out to Syracuse, spent a lot of time on I-80. It's not a sit-back-and-cruise highway. I've never seen more trucks. I-80 has got to be America's truck thoroughfare.
There are a good point.
So many trucks
when you're going
on
I-80. Iowa and all those corn.
There's more trucks than cars. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you're right.
That's right. It sticks.
And so you can't just, you're constantly passing, getting caught behind.
You are right.
I-70 is like if you're driving from here to Kansas City or St. Louis, that's a nice cruise.
I-80
is just.
Why is that a truck thoroughfare?
Just middle of the country type thing,
Kind of goods and services are hauling around.
Part of me as I'm driving, I'm like, this is cool. This is
right.
This is America. This is
you know what's
this
cool?
This is lifeblood stuff, right? But man, there are a lot of trucks.
When I drove that for my son. Gosh, it must have been when he was playing with the Tigers, and I was working for ESPN. And so I flew out and drove his car over the weekend. So I was doing TV Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I think Friday right after the show, I flew to Detroit, grabbed the car. I had to repack it because...
I know.
Because...
they don't know how to pack.
Just another thing that youngsters don't know how to do. They don't know how to pack it efficiently. So I had to repack it and then jumped on the road. But I'm cutting through Iowa Saturday. And the Hawkeyes were letting out.
Oh, like, yes.
And it was just really cool. I don't know who they were playing. But just nothing but Hawkeye flags. Yeah. Everybody's got the little pom-poms and the flags off
there. That's
great, It was, it was almost like I was in a parade. I felt like a champion. Just driving down I-80 like, yes, we won.
So this is what big-time college football seems like.
Well, same color scheme as University of Idaho.
Yeah, but not big-time. Idaho's not big-time.
Pretty big time.
So anyway,
lot
of trucks, lot of trucks.
Yeah, actually, it's not.
I think the Avalanche bounce back.
I do too.
I really do. Got a lot of selfish reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, I want to see the Avalanche win. Two, I did pick Avalanche in six before this series began.
Yeah, you did.
So
you
You know, I always think about, you had a great one. I'm a little jealous. I got to be honest. A little jealous of you today, because usually this is where I get to puff my chest out and kind of prance around. But when you called Chris Bryant Iron Man, my head hung a little bit. I was just like, that should have been me. I should have been able to come up with that. Although I can't use it and blame you, right?
It's intellectual property.
Right, I can use it.
Just give me the one-time mention.
Then if I swing into the Rockies, I'm like, that was my partner. He's
right.
Yeah. Hey, don't be mad. Hey, Chris, don't be mad at me, Tony Stark. Right? That's my partner. What was the song? Is he alive or dead? Did he sleep on a prison bed? We'll just leave it there. Picking up checks, should we even care? So,
so freaking brilliant.
Anywho, like, I'm thinking Darcy Kemper, you know, like, who's a famous glass eye person? Like, he's got one eye. He's got, like, right now, he got poked in the eye. He's got one eye. Who's a famous one eye guy? But now but here's the problem. I'm reaching. Mike, I'm reaching. I'm trying to come up with a nickname
Vitale only has. Doesn't Vitale have a glass eye?
Oh, I don't. Does he?
What?
I thought he did. Anyway, sorry. Just rando thought. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. I mean, I've been around I've been around Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale.
What are we talking about? Top of the house.
Shoo-bee-dee-bee. I want to dedicate it. Oh, let me hit the boat, yeah. New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody talking about Dick Vitale. Well, I spent a lot of time in the locker room.
You need to stop. You need to stop.
Yeah, it was
right
innocent.
Now.
It was
just
innocent.
Stop. I know. But now you're just.
It was innocent.
You're making it worse. Oh, my goodness.
Goodness gracious. Can we regroup? Can we just regroup?
Yeah, let's regroup.
Yeah, we need a reset. Johnny, what's our reset music?
We are handing out goat horns.
Oh, good.
For what happened last night. I've got one that has not yet been brought up.
Ooh.
This person also shares in the blame. And I'll tell you who it is next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, look, before we can totally look ahead to Game 6 and our belief that the Avalanche will bounce back, gotta take a look at what went wrong last night. And Darcy Kemper catching a lot of heat, justifiably so. Texter says, blaming Kemper is a lazy take. If Eric Johnson skates hard and doesn't take a break on the ice, the game never gets to 3-3 or 4-4 last night. He was terrible in the third period. Okay, any time you have a meltdown like that, of course there are other people to blame.
Sure.
But what is the goalie supposed to be? The ultimate eraser, right?
Right.
Why do we say that goalie stole that game? Well, the goalie had to steal the game because his teammates weren't playing well, weren't performing well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was put in a position to save the game. So, sorry, Texter, I'll disagree with you that there are moments in a hockey game, in the playoffs, especially if you try to win a Stanley Cup, where your goalie has to make up for the failings of others. And it's just his job. It's his job to make the save that covers all warts.
Right.
And he didn't do that last night.
I've been around enough hockey players and know enough hockey players and can reach out to enough guys. And I'm not talking about, hey, man, I played with some of my buddies in high school or whatever. And I'm talking about first-rate hockey players, like NHL guys that, you know, that I can reach out to at any time. Every one of them will tell you that to go deep in the playoffs and to win playoff games and to have a chance to steal Stanley Cup, your goaltender your goaltender, one, has to steal you some games, and two, because it's going to happen, and two, anything that goaltender sees is it should be an automatic stop. And I guarantee you right now, I promise you, Darcy Kuemper would tell you the same thing.
Yep.
Darcy Kuemper, if he came on right now, would say, I lost that game. I have to make that stop 100 out of 100 times. I promise you. I promise you he would jump on that sword. Sword?
Sword. That's just how you say it.
Why do I say sword?
You say sword.
I do
say
that.
You want to put an H in there.
There is a lot. There are a lot of things.
It's not SW. With you, it's always SHW. Sword.
Sword. There's a lot of things, you know, like, and I think it comes from my parents maybe mispronouncing words. And then also you mix in a little dyslexia in there. And then the next thing you know, there are things that I have said wrong my whole life that weren't pointed out to me until adulthood, like by my wife. Like one thing I always used to say is, and I thought this was this way until I was carrying, you know, a chest of drawers. I was like, dang, I was helping my wife. I go, this is the heaviest Chester drawers I've ever had, I've ever lifted. Chester drawers.
Why'd you put a Chester in there?
I thought that's what it was named, Chester drawers. Not chest of drawers.
Oh!
I thought it was Chester drawers.
Oh!
And so they were named after some dude named Chester.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
and she, my wife just is howling. She can't even help me. She can't even help me move it anymore. She is laughing so hard at me. Because it's not a chest of drawers, you idiot. It's a chest of drawers.
God bless your parents for protecting you so.
Right.
They
right.
Just protected their little Marky.
I know. I know.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyhow.
So, but you know who? There's another villain in this game.
Okay.
John Elway.
Boy, do you hate Elway.
Oof. I hate Elway. My heart.
So, in a game that we all thought the Avalanche would win,
mm-hmm.
It was all there. Level of confidence was sky high for the Avs in this game. Who was sitting right on the glass?
Elway.
This is really my fault.
By the way, I just got a text.
He's become the cooler.
I just got a text from Sam Adams. Love Sam Adams. Remember Sam Adams?
Sam Adams, longtime columnist mm-hmm. at the now well-defunct, but was a great paper back in the day, the Rocky Mountain News.
Yeah.
Comedian.
Yeah.
Said, funny guy.
Said
he's been on The Fan many, many times.
Yeah. Said that Kuemper has Marty Feldman eyes. Yeah. His hair is hollow gold.
Yeah.
Love, sweet surprise.
So, I blame Elway.
Can't stop the puck at will. He's got Marty Feldman eyes. You know, it's not as good as the first one.
No.
But
no,
still.
I prefer the Iron Man one a
but
lot
still,
better.
Still, yeah. But still.
So, Darcy Kuemper, John Elway. Equally to blame.
Do you think that maybe Kuemper got a little nervous because the Duke was sitting right there behind him with the little button that lights the lamp?
I have a feeling Darcy Kuemper has no idea.
No.
Who John Elway is.
There is no way Darcy Kuemper doesn't know who John Elway is.
He knows who Russell Wilson is. Peyton Manning. John Elway? For an athlete who's only been in town here for a year? Just saying.
Dude, he would have to be... Where's Darcy Kuemper from? Is he American or is he Canadian? We got to play that game. American-Canadian.
We sort of played it back in the day.
Yeah.
We added a few things to it, which
right.
We cannot do right now. He's from Saskatoon, Canada.
Saskatoon. Is there a better name than Saskatoon, by the way? Saskatchewan. Saskatoon. Who names these towns in Canada? Saskatoon.
I was thinking like Spittoon when I hear a Saskatoon. Yeah. Like a Spittoon.
I love it. Saskatoon.
Oh, jeez. Oh, sure. Why not? We're all the way down the road. Let's just have Professor Zeus bring it on home.
Well, Darcy Kuemper, you see, the thing about Darcy is he's got a lady's name, Darcy. But the fact of the matter is he's a whole man. And he's from a great place in Greek mythology, the mountain of Saskatoon. He came down from the mountain and he had a glove on one hand and a blocker on the other hand.
See, folks, this is the beauty of when the Avalanche go overtime, even in a six. By the way, congratulations to you. You correctly nailed it.
What's that?
You said there's no way this game will start anywhere close to 6 o'clock.
Yes, I did say that, yes.
In fact, we set the over-under on the start time at 6:08:30.
Yeah.
And it shattered it. What was it?
6:15. Puck drop 6:15.
Come on! It's a 6 p.m. start. There's no other game on before. That's the beauty. See, that's what I love about. There's so many things to love about the NFL. With the NFL, you know, as a fan, it's going to start at 11:05.
Oh yeah,
it's going to start at 1:05.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to start at 2:05. It's going to start at 2:25. Whenever they say the time is,
right,
you can be confident that's when they're kicking off.
I'll tell you, it's so much so, Mike, that when I'm in the booth, we'll have an open, right? And the open is, you know, you kind of give the, hey, it's a matchup between two AFC West rivals, you know, and you go into your Roach voice. It's a matchup like none other.
Throw out the records.
With these two, beat. I'm Roach. And so anyhow, so you have all this stuff, and then, you know, you'll tee me up with a question like, what am I looking for? And I'm like, hey, I'm looking for this, you know, and it's all exciting, right? And so let's say, you know, the person that sings the national anthem is a real egotistical turd and takes forever, you know, to sing the national anthem because you got a time for it, and you're supposed to be in that time frame, right? And we'll be getting going, and your producer being near you going, hey man, we're getting squeezed. The anthem's going long. Get off the stick mics. Get back on your headsets. We're not going to do the open because we have to kick off. If we say we're kicking off at 11:02, you know what time we're kicking off at? 11:02.
Yep.
On the nose. 6 o'clock-ish.
Yeah.
Puck drop.
The ish. There's no ish with football start times.
Mm-mm.
God bless the NFL.
Yeah. We're on Lombardi time. You're not early or late.
Text says, I freaking love the random starts. It gets you pumped even more.
No,
You're wrong. How? You don't know when the game's going to start.
You know what the random start did for me last night? Made me eat junk food.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because
I've been trying to stay away from that.
Yeah, but I'm laying around waiting. I'm kind of hungry. But I'm hungry because I've been... You know, I've been on the soda, and I'm losing weight and everything else. And then I just wait. Now, the game had puck dropped right at 6, so hockey has made me fat. Hockey.
Diabetes.
You're the reason. Then I just waiting around going, if they're going to lollygag around, I'm going to lollygag over to the fridge and eat something I'm not supposed to eat.
What'd you have?
Type 2 adult onset diabetes?
What'd you have?
I can't.
Something.
My wife.
Delicious, though.
My wife. I was trying to go. I was like, hey, tonight, serious, I'm going to skip dinner. My wife made these chicken enchiladas.
Oh, she's a great cook.
Oh, my God. And they were just sitting in the fridge. They were like, hello, hello, hello. And I was laying there going, what is that I hear? Hello, chicken enchilada. Eat me, eat me, eat me. And I'm like, would you guys drop the puck? Finally, I just got up and microwaved some chicken enchiladas.
And they were delicious.
Here's the thing. You know how you microwave it initially and like the edges are hot but the middle is cold?
Yes, hate that.
I didn't even go back. They
really?
Were so good, I just hate the cold middle.
Delicious.
Sorry.
Hey, folks, this is the beauty of overtime hockey.
I was up late.
Get Mark up a little later.
Right.
Get some a little goofy, a little punchy. We all know punchy Mark is the best kind of Mark. Well, we've got Chad and Nate coming up next. Matt Smith is sitting in for Nate.
Mm.
But Chad's running a little late. He's got another appointment or whatever that he's got to do, another conflict that he's got to do. But he's going to be here.
He's probably modeling shirtless somewhere.
Probably.
Right now.
Probably just... Oh! Mike, how did my shirt come off?
My shirt fall off, and I'm oiled.
What?
It is 8:55. This one more update. Chris Bryant still on the disabled list with a bad back. Still.
Tony Stark.
Nah, nah, nah. Let me just take it out.
Just one more time. Right, here we go. One more time.
Nah, nah, nah. Is he alive or dead? Did he sleep on a prison bed? Should we even care? Cashing fat checks. Why?
Jeez. That is next level right there. That might be some of your best work ever. Right. Chad Nate, coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.